Tonight's shiur, Parshas Kisavo. Parsha begins with the mitzvah bikurim, bringing the first fruits. Lakachta miriyishis kol priha dama. It's interesting, Chasam Sofer says that we bring the first fruit. Why? Because the first is what's dear to us. We toiled, worked in the field, and the first fruits that come up, so that's, makes us happy, very dear. So dafka that, we have to give to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Chasam Sofer, he's an interesting Remez, says that a solar year at least, has 365 days. Right? Now, you take off out of those days that they're not all for yourself. Some days are for Hashem. What days are for Hashem? Shabbos. How many Shabboses are there in a year? 52. Take off 52, you're left with 313 days. Out of that, we have 7 days also that are not for ourselves, it's for Hashem, right? Which is Yontif. 7 Yontifs, we have 2 days of Pesach, a day of Shavuos, 2 days Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. Right? 7 days of Yontif. Take that off, so what are we left with? 306. So out of the whole year, we have 306 days which are for ourselves. The other are for Hashem. Now, Bikurim, we're told to take of our first fruit that's dear to us and give Bikurim. How much do you give Bikurim? The mitzvah is to give 1/40. So likewise here, we are asked to give up our own time, our own days, which is 306 days, we should give Bikurim, give 1/40 of that. So what's 1/40 of 306? It's about 7 a little bit of change. So therefore, we should give 7 days of our own to Hashem. When's the best time to give these 7 days? Reishis, the beginning of the year. So here we have, the beginning of the year is what? Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Starts with Rosh Hashanah, 10 days of repentance, right? Aseres Yimei Tshuva. At his 10 days, we have though already, Rosh Hashanah is 1 day, we have Shabbos is 1 day, we have Yom Kippur is 1 day. So what are we left with? 7. So those are the 7 days that we give to Kodesh Baruch Hu. It says also in the Parsha Bikurim, you come uvasel a kohen asher yeh bayamim ahem in those days v'amarte love, and you should tell him, etc., etc. So Rashi says v'amarte love she'eincha kafui tova. You should tell him that look, I'm not a kafui tova. Hashem did good for me. I'm here returning. I'm giving back. I'm giving a sacrifice of the first fruit that are dear to me, as we said. It's an interesting story brought by the Nachlas Tzvi. That there was once a man, and he inherited an apartment. And he didn't need it to live in because he had an apartment already. So what do? He decided he could have sold it, but instead he decided to rent it out. So he rented out his apartment to this guy. Who did he rent it out to? He rented it out to an avreich who was once married, but he was divorced. And a young guy, he was divorced young, and he rented it from him. Fine. So he rented it for a while. Meanwhile, the Balabais, he had a daughter. She was like 25 years old. And she needed a shidduch. She was already getting older and couldn't find a shidduch. So the friend of his said, I have a guy for you. A great guy. He says, yeah? He says, yeah, this guy knows, he's learned all of Shas with Meforshim. He's a big Talmud Chacham. So he goes, yeah, really? He says, yeah. So he says, that's wonderful. Can you, who is he? What? Give me some information. He says, yeah, actually, you know him quite well. He says, I know him quite well. What are you talking about? He says, yeah. He says, the guy that you're renting your apartment to. He's Avreich. He used to be, he's learning. He's divorced. He's single now. And he's a big Talmud Chacham. So why don't you, shidduch for your daughter? So he says, he's divorced. So he said, okay. So he decided to push it off. But after a while, he started thinking. He said, nobody's, offering anybody else to my daughter. She's getting older and this. He goes, what the heck? And he makes the move. And sure enough, it worked out. And they got married. So on the Erev Chatuna, his son-in-law to be, right, comes to him with an envelope. He goes, what's that? He goes, this is the schar dira, the rent money, I've been paying you, so here's this last month's rent. So he goes, no, not taking it anymore. He says, well, hey, you're my son-in-law. He says, you don't have to pay me rent anymore. Not only that, the apartment's yours. La briut. So he says, oh, yeah, it's yours. I'm giving it to you as a gift. You're from my daughter. You're my daughter. It's your apartment. Wonderful. Okay, everything works out. Fine. Years later, this Balabai has another daughter to marry off. And he didn't have the wherewithal. You know, he needed money to, you know, buy her apartment. He now had no apartment to give away. And, you know, so he himself was a avreich. He didn't have any money. Started looking around, gemachim here, there. He couldn't make ends meet. He didn't know what it was going to be. So this one is about to give up hope. All of a sudden, knock on the door, and his son-in-law and his daughter come in. Says hello. Well, come in. Comes in. He says, hi, what do you come to visit? He goes, yeah, but more than that, boom. Puts on the table tens of thousands of dollars. So the Balabai says to his son-in-law, go, what's this money? He says, Abba, it's for you. He says, for me? What are you talking about? He said, listen, you know, you were so good to me. First of all, you know, you took me as your son-in-law, which you didn't have to do. You knew I was in divorce, and people don't like to take divorcees, whatever. And you did. You took me for your daughter. Not only that, and you canceled the rent money. And not only that, you gave me an apartment. Okay? On top of it all. So I felt, you know, beholding to you. You know, it was so nice of you. Hakara Satov. So me and your daughter, my wife, decided that, you know what we're going to do? We're going to set aside every money, every month, the rent money that we would have normally paid you, and we're going to put it aside. And so the time when you would need it. And now we saw how you're running around, need money for the next daughter and that, so this is all the thousands of dollars that we had saved up over the years, the rent money, we're giving it to you now, so you could help marry off your daughter. Inyan of Hakar Satov. There's next we find in the Parsha, in the Inyan of Vidui Maisras, right? A person comes and he's declares that everything he did, all gave all the Maisras out, etc., that he had to give, Trumas Maisras, everything, and he makes a declaration, and part of the declaration is, Lo avarti mi mitzvasecha velo shachachti. Says, you say that you declare that I did everything, I didn't transgress anything, I didn't forget anything. So the Eben Ezra says, Lo avarti mi mitzvasecha refers to bezadon, he says, wantonly, mazid, I didn't know where, but lo shachachti means beshogin. So the Alker Kishuni says an interesting idea to explain a little bit this Eben Ezra. So there's an idea some of Farshim bring down that a person doesn't transgress a shogeg unless he first transgressed a mazid. Okay, in other words, a person shogeg, there's a reason behind it. If you're over on a shogeg, that means you probably did the same thing before, similar the mazid, and as a punishment came about, and now you did a shogeg. The famous story with the Gra, the Gaon Mivilna, once was Shabbos, and he was sitting at the table, and accidentally his hand pushed a peel of an orange. The peel of an orange was sitting there, and he kind of, you know, touched it. Like, well, you know, wasn't thinking. He just, like, didn't see it, wherever he pushed it. But then he realized that he pushed it, and he fainted. Why? Because he figured, oh, he touched muktzah, you know. So he fainted. So everybody, you know, goes, oh, what's happened? You know, they ran out with him, and they poured water on his face or whatever, and he woke up. But as soon as he woke up again, he realized what he had done, fainted again. So again they poured water, woke up, and then again he realized what he had done, fainted again. He goes, what's going to be? How are we going to get up? So his wife, also a smart woman, so she goes, I have an idea. So they woke him up again, and as soon as they woke him up, she took the orange peel and she started eating it. He needed to show him that, look, it's ochel, it's upsolus, you can eat it, you can eat orange peels, look. So therefore you weren't over on anything, you see, you can eat it. That was good, and then he didn't faint. So the question is, though, that, okay, but why did he faint to begin with? It was an accident, right? He didn't, you know, take it and say, oh, why did I do that? It was, he didn't see it. He moved his hand. It happened to be an orange peel over there. So what was he? Why did he faint about? He says, Rav Mordechai Man, very good. Well, according to what we said, if a person is over on shogeg, that's a sign that it was first done with mazid. So therefore, he fainted because he said, "Well, if I did with shogeg, I'm not fainting on a shogeg. It's not my. It was an accident. But it must be that I must have done something with shogeg that I should deserve. That I did this. That it was mazid that I should deserve to have the shogeg happen to me." Also, this we can explain in another Gemara, famous Gemara, in Makos, right, in Daf Tes. It says that on the Eiver Yarden, there were 2.5 tribes, and there's 3 Ari Miklat. In Eretz Yisrael proper, there were all the rest of the tribes, 9.5 tribes, and there was also 3 Ari Miklat. So it's not proportional. Right? Eiver Yarden, there's only 2.5 tribes, there's 3 Ari Miklat. Eretz Yisrael proper, 9.5 tribes, and there are also only 3 Ari Miklat. What's going on? So the Gemara asks the question, and the Gemara answers, Gila, Begilad, Shchichim, Rotzchim. Because in Gilad, which is an Eiver Yarden, over there were a lot of Rotzchim, there are murders over there. So the Gemara, that's why they needed, proportionally, more per capita, more Ari Miklat. Everybody asks the question, but you don't go to your miklat if you kill b'mezid. It's only if you kill b'shoge. So what is that kind of an answer to that? Yeah, a lot of murder, but you don't go to. These were Ari Miklat we're asking him. Ari Miklat's only for people who kill b'shoge, not people who kill b'mezid. So according to what we said, now is very good, because if a person kills b'mezid, just like we said that if a person does shoge means mezid came before, so if a person does b'mezid, that leads to shoge, that Hashem punishes him and he ends up doing b'shoge. So if there were a lot of mezidim, a lot of murders that were mezid, there's a lot of shoge also. Mainly they need those Ari Miklat. Similarly, the pasuk in Tehillim we're familiar with, and Lamatzeich means more like David, we say on Shabbos. It says, David Melech says, Shkiyas miyavin, ministeres nakeini. Says, who understands? Shkiyas, shogeg, the hidden things also, they're like things that are shogeg, nakeini, please Hashem, cleanse me from them. Gami zeidim chasoch avdecha, and also hold me back from mezi. What was David saying? David Melech was saying, Vyekur Hashem, I want you to help me, from shogeg, Shkiyos miyavin. However, I understand, in order to stay away from shogeg, you also have to make sure there's no mezid that comes before that, because as we said, mezid leaves a shogeg, mele, he said, gami zeidim chasoch avdecha, also hold me back from mezid, because I know that the shogeg comes from the mezid. And finally, say in the Nusach of Vidu in Yom Kippur, Gemara in Yom, it says, Daf Lamed Vav, it says a machloek is chachamim say the order you say is chatasi avisi pashati. Chatas is a shogeg, avisi is mezid, and pashati is like rebellion, is merit. Rabbi Meir argues and he says no, avisi chatasi pashati. He says not chatasi avisi, but the opposite. First avisi, which is mezid, and then chatasi, and then shogeg. So the chachamim asked him, well, that if you're ready saying, asking, doing tshuva on the mezi, avisi, so what do you have to do on the shoge? So according to what we said now, it's very good. Because any ma'isa shoge, how did that come? Because there was a mezi first. So therefore, kodem call the tshuva on the mezi, because that it's the mezi, at least afterwards, the shoge. Mimele, back to the Ibn Ezra, he said, Lo avarti mi min tfasecha. He says, what? That's talking about the mezid. And mimele, since lo avarti min tfasecha, the mezid, mimele, velo shachachti the shogeg. Because the shogeg only comes in the mezid, so I wasn't over on the mezid, mimele, lo shachachti the shogeg either. Similarly, on this pasuk, lo avarti min tfasecha, velo shachachti, once some people came to Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, and he said, we have a problem. What's the problem? We have mice. We have mice in our house. So they asked, what should we do? So, I mean, he could have just said, call the exterminator, but he didn't say that. He said, are you guys careful in taking mice from your produce, from your fruit and vegetables? So they said, well, not exactly. I said, okay, so make sure your mice are your stuff, mice are your money. Meiser money, Meiser vegetables, whatever. Make sure you give Meiser all your Meisers. Fine. So they made sure they gave all their Meiser money. Make sure everything, the fruit, everything's done. Good. What happens? No more mice. Disappear. My face! They say, unbelievable. What was one thing have to do with another, And obviously a my face. They went to Rav Chaim. They told him, you did a my face. He says, not my face. What are you talking about? He says, it's a midrash. I am Moifei. It's a midrash. Midrash says, yeah. Midrash says in Parshas Ekev that they came to Rav Pinchas ben Yair and they said, Rebbe, we have mice in the field. There are achbarim and sadot. So he said, you're not meisering. You have to take meiser. And sure enough, they did, and it disappeared. Once I gave a shiur, and I was talking about giving meiser to prevent. So somebody, after the shiur came out, he says, you didn't realize that you're constantly making this pun, you know? I said, what are you talking about? He said, meistress, right? And I said, see, you take meistress to prevent the mice from coming. Anyways, so Rav Chaim says the Gevalta Kachap. Says the Gevalta Kachap. Why? The Gemara says in Horius that if a person eats something that was eaten by a mouse, then it makes you forget. Right? If a mouse ate some food or whatever, nibble at some food, and you eat that, it causes you to forget. Forget your learning, etc. Therefore, Gevalta Kachap. What does it say? It says, we say in the Declaration of Eating Meisers, Lo avarti mi mitzvoy secha. Right? I didn't transgress any of your things. I did everything, meaning I gave all my meisres. Memele, if I gave all my meisres, what does that mean? No more mice. No more mice means no mice ate any of my food. Because there's no mice. I gave all my meisres, therefore no mice. No mice means no mice were nibbling on my food because I didn't have mice around. Memele, I didn't forget anything, because you forget if you eat something that mice ate from. But I didn't have to eat anything from. Why? Because I'm under no mice around. Why? Because I gave my mice. Pile plaim. Next. It says in the pasuk, in the brachas, Baruch Ata Bayir, Baruch Ata Basadeh. So if you notice in Ibishitz, gives a few different ideas in this bracha. Bruchah, you're blessed in the city, blessed in the field. So one thing he says is, Chazal tell us that when the Kohanim do Birkas Kohanim, that the people receiving the bracha have to stand in front of the Kohanim. So if you stand in behind the Kohanim, you don't get the bracha. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, but it's the Ferish Maimer, it says that if the people out in the Sadot, they get the bracha, even though they're not in shul. So what are you telling me? Behind the Kohen, you don't get a bracha. People out in the fields, they get the bracha. What are you telling? So the Gemara says, no, it's different. The people out in the fields, they're bonus. Okay, they have to go to work. What can you do? They couldn't get the shul. Okay, so they get the bracha, because they're an onus. Whereas, somebody who's in shul, but doesn't make an effort to go in front of the Kohen, and goes behind him, so no, he doesn't get the bracha. Okay. So Mele, he says, that's legabe. Per person, right? Kohen giving the bracha, but Kohen giving the bracha, they have to be in the right place, or else you don't get. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I give bracha no matter what. Memele, not only Baruch Atah Basadeh, you get the bracha when you're on the field, when you can't help it. No, I feel a Baruch Atah Beir. Even if you're in a city, and you're not in front of the Kohen, you still get it. Because I'm giving the bracha. The Kohen gives the bracha, you got to be in the right place. I give the bracha no matter what. Another idea, he says that Yitzhak Avinu gave Yaakov a bracha, you know, when he came in. And then Esav came in after, he goes, oh, I want a bracha also. He goes, okay, fine. So he says, chapped a little bracha also. So Yaakov got a bracha, Esav got a bracha. Now Esav is what? Ish Sadeh. Okay? He knows Ish Sadeh. Where's Yaakov? Yoshev Olim, he's in the city. Baruch Ata Ba'ir, you get the bracha of Yaakov that he got, and not only that, Baruch Ata Ba'Sadeh, you get the Sadeh bracha of Esav as well. You get both brachas. And also, lastly, says that there are Argav. It's interesting. The Rebbe of was a Belzer Rebbe. The first Belzer Rebbe. Somebody. Came to him and asked, why is it that we find that the Yidden, that they dress like Goyim, and still, you see, they're successful in business. Now they walk around like a bunch of Goyim, and yet they're still successful. So says the Belzer Rebbe, he says, Yaakov Avinu, when he got the bracha of Kol Tu from his father Yitzchak, how was he dressed? Wearing Esau's clothes, wearing Goyish clothes. You see, you think you got the bracha wearing Goyish clothes. See? Yeah. Okay. Finally, another idea of the bracha. said that there's certain advantages of being in the city, and there's other advantages being in the kfar, being in the moshav, right? The city, the conveniences, the hustle bustle, etc. But then again, the being out in the moshav, you have nice peace and quiet, and you hear the birds chirping. So each thing has its pros. So mele, bracha is you get the best of both worlds. Baruch ata ba'ir, baruch ata ba'sadeh. You get the best of both. Next. The Prasik says also Baruch Ata Bivoecha Baruch Ata Bitseisecha. So the Gan Rave brings a Midrash. The Midrash says Baruch Ata, right, Bivoecha, that's Bipragmatia Shocha. In business, you get a bracha when you go out to business. Baruch Ata Bitseisecha, it also Bipragmatia Shocha. When you go out, when you come in, you get bracha for the business. But David also said on this, Hashem Yishmor Tzeischa Uvoecha. When you go out, when you go in, Me'ata V'yad Olam. Now, he explained this midrash, says, brings a Gemara in Aramid. He says the following. So the Gemara says over there, if a person wants to take water, he's thirsty, he wants to take water from a pit, well, right? There's a problem, because the well is a Rishus HaYachid. And you take the water out, as you're taking it into Shazarabi, which you're not allowed to do. So says the Gemara, what should you do? Metapes ve'ole, metapes ve'yored. Metapes means to climb. So you climb into the pit, take the water, drink it, and then go out of the pit. You know, just take it in, don't bring it out. Drink inside. Go down, drink, come up. Tosis asks the obvious question. The Lashon's backwards, though. What does it say? Metapes ve'ole, metapes ve'yored. Climb up and climb down. That's not how you go down into a pit. You don't climb up and climb. You climb down and climb up. First you have to go down into the pit, then you climb up. Well, you climb up and climb down. She's going to climb down and climb up. Tosis asked the Kacha. The Tosis says, it's written backwards to tell us that you only are allowed to do it once. You can do it as many times as you want. It shows constantly over and over again. The backwards lashon is to tell us that it's not always down and up and that's it. It's up and down to tell us that you can do it over and over and over again. That's what the lashon tells us. Ah. So mele, with this, we can explain the midrash. Why? Because the midrash is also difficult. Which is the pasuk. What does our pasuk say? Baruch ata bevoecha. You're blessed when you come, and Baruch Ata Bitseisecha when you go out. And what does the Midrash say? It's talking about business. What do? Go out for business and then come in, or you come in and go out? First you go out. You leave your house, go to business, and you come back. So why does it say Baruch Ata Bitseisecha when you come home from the business, and Baruch Ata Bitseisecha when you go out? It's backwards. Ah, says the Gan Rav, based on the Gemara we saw, the Tosfos is beautiful. We see that when it's written backwards, it's in order to tell us that it's continuous, not just one time, continuous. And therefore, to tell us that it's a continuous bracha for your parnasa, it writes it backwards. Baruch Ata Bitseisecha, Baruch Ata Bitseisecha, backwards. To say that the bracha is this constant, not a one-time thing. And Mele also is beautiful, the end. What does the end of the Midrash say? That David HaMelech said, Hashem Yishmor Tzeischa Uvoecha. The problem there is, wait a minute, but Tzeischa Uvoecha is in the right order. Right? Hashem Yishmor Tzeischa when you go out and when you come back. That's the right order. So that's no good. We want Dafka the out of order in order to have continuous. But there, David HaMelech said it in the right order. Hashem Yishmor Tzeischa when you go out and come in. So therefore, what is David HaMelech and? Me'ata v'yad olam. Continuous forever. With this, I was thinking to answer a line that we say in Zmiris on Leil Shabbos, which is also difficult. Why? We say in the Zemer called Mekadesh Vi, right? One of the lines we say, Dor She Hashem Zera Avraham Avo, talking about it's praising the people that are keeping Shabbos, right? That those that are Dor She Hashem, they want Hashem, the seed of Avraham Avo that you love. And then what does it say? Hama'achrim latzeis min haShabbat, praising these people that they are late and taking out Shabbos. In other words, they add Tosefes Shabbos. They don't take Shabbos out right away. They take it out late. U'memaharim lavo, and they take it in right early. The obvious question again: it's out of order. Well, what do you do? First, take in Shabbos or take out? So it should have said U'memaharim. It should have said they quick to take in Shabbos and Ma'achrim letzeit. Wow, but it says it the opposite way around. Ma'achrim letzeit min Shabbos ma'arim lavo. It's backwards. Ah, but according to what we said, I was thinking we could say the same thing. That we're praising the people that are keeping Shabbos, so therefore we want to say, not that just once. Okay, they happen to once taking Shabbos early. No, we want to bring out the idea that it's constant. They constantly bring in Shabbos early. Constantly think, how do you bring out the idea of consistency? By saying it backwards. V'meile, ha'ma'achrim letzeis min ha'Shabbos ha'marim lavo. Hafla v'fela. End with one last little vort. It says Gabi the Klalas, Vaya im lo tishma bekol Hashem, etc. You don't listen, then all the bad stuff, all the klalas come. Rachamana litzlan. Now, if you count all the words in the klalas, how many are there? 676, of course. 676 in words is gematria ra'ot. Ra'ot, ra, bad, ra'ot, evils, right? That's the klalos. Ra'os, there's many ra'os. Rabos ra'os. A lot of ra'os. So ra'os is 676. Now, the Shem Hashem is yud kei vav kei, right? What is that in gematria? 26. How many times in this parsha is the Shem Hashem written? 26 times. So what's 26 times 26? Again, 676. Memele, as it says in the pasuk, rabos raos letzadik, right? The tzadik has raos 676. The klalas 676 words. Rabos raos, the raos, the 676 klalas of letzadik. But what? Umikulam yatzilenu Hashem, Hashem, which is also 676, 26 times 26, that saves the tzaddik, because since he does mitzvahs, so he can hofech, he can turn all these klalas into brachas, Mimela 676 klala is reverted by the Shem Hashem 676. You should all be zoiche to change all the klalas into brachas, that says tichla shana v'kilu l'sea, that we should finish off the year with all the klalas and usher in the new year with harbe brachot, and we should all be zeiche to ksivech simaton v'lanu l'chol Yisrael ad bias kol tzedek v'imheira v'yameinu. Amen.